haven't looked at the minutes of the 8th. We have respect of minutes, the minutes of the 8th, the minutes of the 23rd, and the minutes of the 5th of July. Can we have a look at those minutes? The minutes of the 8th? We are on page 1. Do we have all the sets? We are on page 1. Page 2. Committee further indicated that the explanation of the department of public works and that can you explain, Jam, what that means?
Chair, I'd like to go back to the draft and recheck the sentence, then we will fix it.
Yes, because the sentence is incomplete.
Yeah.
Can we then?
Yeah.
Go to page
the first paragraph.
The fifth paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, Honorable Member.
The Robben Island Museum indicated.
Yes, indicated.
Within the committee of short and sweet.
the last paragraph, second last paragraph, the committee raised, is it the credibility really? I don't remember, is it the credibility?
It's not credibility, at least it's also not responsibility.
Yes, because I don't think it's credibility,
yeah,
but
I'll find the word.
We needed to have.
Maybe we say competency. It's not about competency.
It's not about competency as well. And it's not about suitability as well. But it's not.
I think suitability will be best.
Suitability.
Be best.
Okay. All right. Can you? Yes. Can you then? Can we have someone proposing? Can we have someone proposing for the honorable court form? And any seconder?
Seconder. I could have done it.
Honorable On page 3, I put the minutes with the Anam Kharasi, Honorable Mukhosi, Honorable Zabukati, Stefan Dukhati, Honorable Mukhosi. Yes, we have the minutes of the 25th. On page 1, on page 4, to put the minutes, I have asked Jabu to look closely at the matters that are arising from this unit and to especially those areas that we have taken a decision as a committee that we are going to follow up matters, so that he gives us the list of all the to-do issues that come out of this minute, so that they don't fall through the cracks. I think it's important, especially now that we are also in a process of crafting a closeout report, that nothing must escape the eye of the committee. Nothing must fall through the cracks. So that the report that is going to be the report that is holistic. The other issue, honorable members, is the issue of the advisory board of libraries. So I'll ask Jabu to give the honorable members just a brief, because in our last meeting, if you remember, we looked at the name and we said we're not happy with the name, but we went back to look at the act. So Ujabu is going to just take us through what the act is saying, and maybe as the honorable members, you'll just have your last say before we take this matter up.
Yes, members. The minister sent through the names for the nomination of the advisory council that will assist with the appointment of the NCLIS board. So here on the nomination procedure for him to nominate his candidate, that is the nominated, it says there on 7.2a, the minister must appoint a panel for the composition was approved by the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture, Science and Technology, consisting of persons with experience or expertise in library and information services to complete a shortlist of not more than 15 candidates from the persons nominated in terms of subsection 1A. So before that they do the nominations for that council, then the minister must appoint this group of people with expertise. So he's chosen people from the department with the necessary expertise within the fields that there, the deputy directors and chief directors from the Department of Arts and Culture. So he's given the committee the names, and then the committee must approve the names, and then they will start. This is not the council that will serve as council members on that board. So it's for them to start the process of appointment. I mean, of the process of nominations, when they'll do the adverts and everything. Gotcha. So these are the names the minister has forwarded for the committee to look at and approve, and then they will deal with the nominations process.
I'm not sure if I'm clear. Maybe
my colleagues would want to add something there.
Do you want to add anything?
Yes, the names are part of the pack there. This one, then this one with the letter, and then the names are at the back, and then the act is at the back. Remember that this one? We also circulated this in the email that last week in the meeting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think when we discussed this issue in our last meeting, we were not disputing the fact that it's the prerogative of the minister. But as the committee, we were raising a concern, you know, that all the people that are nominated are from the department. I think what we need to do, if this is how the committee feels, we just need to raise that concern. We are not saying that we need to do something drastic, but this is the concern that we are raising. And if the minister feels that these are the people that really he would like to have, then so be it, because as Jabu is saying, it's just an ad hoc committee that's going to ask for nominations. They're not going to go through the whole thing. It's like the ad hoc committee that is there with pencils, but this one is for the library advisory committee. So it's up to members to take a decision whether. But what we raised sharply was that we were concerned that all the people in this committee are from the department. It would have been good to have people from outside the department so that the credibility of the nominations and the advertising and receiving would be credible, because there would be people who are not from the department. This is what we raised in the last meeting, if I remember well. So I think what we need to do as the committee is to, when writing to the minister, just to say what we feel, you know, about the number, the list of people that we are given, that we are concerned that there are no people from outside who are going to ensure that, there's a balance, you know, because as it is, it's one-sided. But when there are people from outside, it creates that balance. So I think we what are members advising on this matter? Honorable Mohot?
Chair is proper. I don't think we need to discuss it. It's clear, because that we did last time, and it's coming again. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Grootboom.
No, Chair, I agree wholeheartedly with you that we should raise our concern because it may bring the legitimacy of the process into question. But then again, I would concur with you as the ad hoc committee. But if the ad hoc committee are the people who are going to sit at the final selection, it will then also then pose a problem. And that is the fear that I have and that you raised.
Thank you, Honourable Members. We are going to write to the Minister to raise the concerns that have been raised by the committee. And then we will await a response from him. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. We are now going to call the department in, but I think before we do that, I would like to thank Honourable Members for last week's debate. I felt so sick on Wednesday evening, and I was scared to sleep over on Thursday again alone. I thought I needed just to go home on Thursday morning because I was scared to sleep alone in that house on Thursday. So I want to thank you very much for the debate. I hear that it went on well, and the manner in which it was handled, I just want to thank you very much, Honourable Members. I don't have enough words to thank you for the good work that you're doing. And let's hold it like this because we are close to the finish line now. And we've worked well so far, and let's continue doing that for the benefit of our communities and the stakeholders. I want to thank you sincerely from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. We are now going to call in the department. If members need to refill their cups or get something from the bar, you are welcome to do that.
Yeah.
now.
Morning. Why anything and everything is a move of all. But let me welcome you, officials from the department. I've already welcomed the members, and we have the agenda in front of us, and there are matters arising. Are there any apologies?
Yes, Chair, we have a standing apology from Dr. Esther Isaac. The department also has an apology for the Minister, Chair. With that, the call is senior. We will.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. The Minister is abroad on official visit.
Okay. Honourable Members, those are the apologies from Honourable Osteisen and from the Minister. Do we accept the apologies? Honourable Khufum?
Yes, Chair, we accept the apologies, but I just want to find out, do we have a Deputy Minister?
Do we?
It was sent.
Department?
Yes, Honorable Chair. There was a AM. I was under the impression, I can only verify that the DM, there was an apology forwarded from her office due to her ill health. And but I will just confirm with her office where that is, and before we leave here,
okay,
just to make sure it's forwarded,
okay,
if it didn't reach the office of the Honorable Chair.
I think that this is what Honorable Hosbaum was trying to find out, if we don't have any apologies from the Office of the Chair, but we do, we'll follow that up, and it will be forwarded to the committee. Thank you very much. We do have matters arising, and you know, some of the issues that I hear are issues that we have been discussing since 2014. And I, as I always say, it's disheartening for us to be discussing the same things, that to discuss one thing over and over again is really disheartening. Not finding solutions for problems or challenges is something that is not really good for anybody. It's not good for us as the portfolio committee, the people who are raising these concerns. is not good for you as the department. It's not good for the people that we are serving, the people that these things are about. If we are going to come in 2014 and discuss the roadies, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 20, it's too much to discuss one thing over and over again without solutions. If we discuss TENSAL from day one till the day we go to the grave, it's showing the type of administration that we have. And I don't think this is something that we want to see. I don't think at all that this is what... If we discuss Parkhoff, when we came in here, our first oversight, Parkhoff was there, and we are still discussing Parkhoff today. What does this mean? Really, we need to sit down and think seriously what this means. We will go through these matters arising. The first digit to go through them so that we can go to the report. Give us just information on what is happening in these areas, and we will find space to get more information. But I think we need to get some information on these issues that we hear. I hear that the issue of the National Arts Council investigation, and you know, what is said about this is that some of these things we hear about in the media. You hear that the report, this is the report, and the committee has not received any report from the department. Siva ngamahamba nendlela thina. Siva besitha abantu ebhasini, sive ebhasini. Into that is supposed to be under our watch, which is really sad. Because now the issue of the NAC, uFred, we pay the siva ngoFred thina. Into bakwenzeka ntoni. We investigate in the NAC as the committee. We've not had an opportunity to look at the report and to make the necessary oversight. So, can you please, department, give us a report on the issues that were discussed in the committee? It's going to be the same thing with the report on the Delville Wood thing, the NAC investigation. It's going to be the same thing. Saive Pepe. The media is going to tell us what is happening there. And I think it's not acceptable at all. Can we have the reports on matters arising? And if a matter, as you are looking at the issues here, if a matter is still whatever, then you tell us why you are not giving us information. For instance, if you are not giving us the investigation report, you tell us why you are not doing that so that we understand the support for you. Over to you, DJ.
Yeah, good morning, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members. On the issues, Chair, you have raised, we are really, there will be progress and that will be demonstrable in the interventions that the department has made in almost all these matters. And as we indicated last week in our presentation on roadies, for instance, that is a matter of roadies has been finalized. And on Tuesday, as I had indicated in the meeting, that there was going to be an order of court being signed off as a final settlement of the matter between the three parties. And that did happen. So the matter of Rhodes, of Sarah, in our view, has now found a resolution, including the work that was raised or the issues raised as remedial action by the public protector, which we then working with the public protector on those matters to then, as we committed, to provide reports to them. But this was really hinging just on having a binding agreement in terms of the order of court, as order of court, so that we then implement the rest. So I believe that, Chair, with the issue of SARA, as was discussed last week, I can only confirm now the latest development that indeed on the 22nd, this was then made an order of court. It's binding to all now parties. Then we can continue with the rest of the remedial actions as we engage with the public protector and SARA. And that the MOU between ourselves and DBSA is what now the legal services people are working on, so that then the money can be transferred to DBSA with those clear conditions as per the MOU, so that then SARA can continue to have their building refurbished. So, Chair, that is the issue of SARA, unless we go back to it again. But I think that that is the main status. Now, moving to National Arts Council investigation, as commissioned by the Minister. As we had reported, Chair, maybe we must accept then that we will forward the report to the chairperson, to the committee through the office of the chairperson, on the issue of NAC. The report is very clear on what is found to be actions that must be undertaken by the board, and the report was shared with the board. The board then instituted their processes that need to be dealt with. But the report is very thorough, Chair. If I were to go through it, I will then be guided by the Chair, whether I go slide by slide or I just indicate where the process is as we speak. But maybe to do justice so that it is clear, we looked at what were the challenges identified and what were the remedial actions that are being done in that regard. So on NAC, after receiving that complaint and allegations leveled by SARA, and that there were issues of impropriety by NAC management regarding grant funding policies, then there was that investigation by the Koboto, and we summarized the findings that the big report was issued without any malicious intent, but Koboto concluded that the BIG investigator disclosed the fact that he worked at the DBSA during the time of the CEO, and then the Koboto concluded that Mr. Andres de Benar did not have a close personal or working relationship, except that they had worked together at some point, as indicated above. Then there was an issue around failure on the part of the NAC to adhere to the grant funding policy. Again here, one of the findings was that there was no conflict of interest regarding Mr. De Benar's involvement in the NAC investigation. The working relationship had no bearing on the findings and recommendations. On the issue of the salary, CEO and the CFO for 16-17, the findings were that the salary is structured and only enclosed car allowance, and that no performance bonuses and increases were paid to CEO and the CFO in 2014-15. And the increase by the CEO salary by 18% from 1.2 million to 1.6 was found not to be correct. The performance bonus to the value of 137,902 was indeed given to the CEO. The amount by the finding is that it was in excess of a stipulated 5% as per the remuneration and reward policy of NAC. Thus, the policy was transgressed. Minister then met with the NAC Council on the 16th of July 2018 to discuss progress on the investigation as was conducted on what steps are being undertaken by the Council to implement those findings. On the Lalela flagship project, the forensic investigation recommended that disciplinary action be instituted against the CEO based on the following: submitting a funding application directly to EXCO and the Council without the application being subject to the normal funding process was indeed in breach of paragraph 6.1 and 12.1.5 of the grant awarding manual. That the irregular meeting with the Lalela representative to discuss social cohesion heart maps project before the fund application and or proposal had been submitted to NAC, that was irregular. The said meeting resulted in Lalela being given favorable treatment and a competitive advantage over other potential applicants. This is in contravention of Section 38, subsection 3 of the PFMA. For acting in a negligent manner and recommending the approval of grant funding of 1.899 million rands for a beneficiary classified as an expired project, for irregularly authorizing the payment of 1.1 million rand to Lalela as proper approval process was not followed in the award of the grant. Finally, on the Lalela Flex project, that for irregularly authorizing payment of 566,000 to Lalela as proper approval process was again not followed in the grant, and for misrepresenting that a funding application had been submitted for social cohesion heart maps project of Lalela projects. The anonymous allegations then contained in Molimo's letter of appeal and information leaked to the media. There was a meeting held with the minister on the 16th of July this year, 2018, where the council presented a report on the outcome of the disciplinary hearing against the company secretary. So you'll see that the figures, I was not reading all of them, I was just rounding them. Not that the sense were not there, just one for record. So that when it is someone reason, doesn't say you said 1 million, one instead of 3.3 to 1. So I requested the portfolio committee note that. So the CFO and the Arts Development Manager, the issues relating to them on the final report by the Govodo on the NAC Council on the 9th of June 2018, the NAC Council Chairperson met with the Minister in order to determine progress. The initiator and the chairperson have been appointed with given appointment letters that were signed by the chairperson of the council. The letters were then issued and received on Monday, 13th of August, 2018. The chairperson of council has met with the initiator and has provided the following documents as stated below. for and relevant for the drafting of the charges. The Kobodo report, the NAC report on salaries, bonuses, lalela, the grant awarding manual, surplus policy, grant hunting report, disciplinary policy and procedures for NAC. The DAC then, on the issue of the arts development manager and the CFO, when I met with the chairperson following on progress regarding implementation of this, we then, he indicated that the appointing an external disciplinary or agent or company would cost a lot of money. As a department, then we offered to say, look, there is a mechanism that will assist in this regard. You work within your budget in relation to the CEO appointing the external company to deal with it. For the arts development manager and the CFO, the department will work with the DPSA and identify initiator and chairperson who will then be given to NAC for them to then use them for the purposes of disciplinary process against the two. So that we did, we approached the state attorney to give us and provide us the initiator and the chairperson. And then on the 29th of August, there will be then a briefing for the initiator by the forensic investigators, after which then they will draft the charges. Other processes will then follow thereafter. But the intention was just to make sure that there is no hindrance in speedily addressing the matter. Then we said, let us get that particular process to support that. So that is where the issue of the CEO is. I might just share with the chair that there was an issue of the CEO's contract being extended or whatever, or had been reappointed after the contract was had expired. We did engage with the NAC on the matter, and then based on the arguments I advanced to myself and the minister, they proceeded with reappointing the CEO while the process of DC is going on. So that process, we left it to the chairperson after engagement and expressing our view on the matter. But using the basis of having to conclude this process, the board felt that they needed to reappoint the CEO in the meantime, and should there be disciplinary process prove her guilty, of course then consequently, there will be an outcome that will inform them what to do. But that is what to date has happened, so that we will present to you that matter at this moment.
Really?
Thank you, Chair. I'm just wondering whether, how is the blood of the CEO made of? Because there is an evidence of what she has transgressed. It's so amazing that the DAC is not acting on the CEO. Now you ask yourself, for the CEO of PenSalp, you take the two of them. They did not hesitate to act on the PenSalp CEO. But on this one, it's almost 2 years, I'm such a person, that we are dealing with this matter, if I remember very well. Worst of it, her contract is being, or whether it's extended or the person is being reappointed, it's not on, Che. It's not on at all. It is not. I'm assuming that with all the allegations that have been leveled, or whatever, the findings, because it's no longer allegations now, it's the findings, she's not even supposed to be there as we speak now. She's supposed to be suspended, Chairperson, with immediate effect. She's not even supposed to be there. Those who have not done what she has done, they are suspended like the blink of the eye. If you are not favored by somebody else within the department, then you'll have to leave the system. This is pure corruption, Chairperson. If we want to deal with corruption, this is exactly what has happened here is corruption. Whether it has been done by her or whatever, but this is corruption. And it's amazing that the DAC is not acting on corruption. They're acting on whistleblowers, whatever, whatever. But on this one, they fail to act. This is not on, Chair. This is not on at all. I was expecting that we should get a report that says that woman is out of that institution, Chair. She should be out of that institution. It doesn't matter whether she's a friend to somebody else. This is government. We are not here to play. Once a person has been found with these allegations, really, something needs to be done. The other thing that I'm asking myself, the report is not clear because I believe the monies need to be recovered from the CEO. The monies that have been paid, the difference or whatever that has been paid by the institution to the CEO, they need to be recovered. Maybe say they need to tell us how much that needs to be recovered from her. We cannot go on with the situation, Chair. My proposal to this committee, Chair, is to say that that CEO must leave the institution. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Makondo.
Thanks, Chair. I don't think we're surprised. About the report that we got from the department. It's still the same, but the only difference is that the new DG is presenting the very same report that was presented by the previous people who were in charge of the department. And without actually, just to be personal, on the DG, if this committee chair would have been convened only for the purpose of this report, not other things that is going to be dealt with, and outside this meeting, if I can ask the DG a simple question. What were you doing today at work? Will be his answer that indeed he was working and this is what he has done. You see, I asked a question previously when the NAC chair came to present the AP. My question was, when is the contract of the CEO coming to an end? And there was a response to that. And what is presented today? There's no much change. These issues that are being reported here, we've been talking about them. And finally, the report came out, and it's exactly the way we've been saying them. And my question could be, what kind of a department is this one? That protect people who transgress, literally. And the department continue to keep them in their employ. Really? Are we serious about the saying that we want to deal with corruption? If we continue to assist people who commit corruption to continue to commit corruption. You see, DJ, there's one thing that you must know. But I want to ask you just a simple question. What is the problem? Because what you are saying, I can see it's not the problem. There must be a problem somewhere. And we need to deal with that. Surely there is a problem, and that's what we need to deal with. But the issue that I want to say to you is that you are the Director General of this department. In fact, you are the leader, you are the captain of this ship. Like the chair said, umphathi. You see, I want to refer you to go and read the book called Art of War by General Sun Tzu. When you are commanding forces, from the point of leadership level, the message that you communicate every time must be very clear. There must be no ambiguity. No must be no. Yes must be yes. So that your forces do not go astray. But what I'm getting it from you, really, I don't want to pass judgment, but I don't see hope, and hence I'm asking the question, what is the problem? Because I can see what we are talking about, it's not a problem. There must be a problem somewhere. There are people who are just suspended without any prima facie evidence. But the evidence was there overwhelming, and the contract of this person has been renewed. What confidence are you giving to people out there that you really, really working for them if this is the situation? I'm disappointed. Thanks, Chair.
It takes a lifetime to build integrity, but it takes a minute to destroy it. And I'm still trying to really think what this really means. The report that you've just given us, this DG, what does it mean? I'm looking at the meaning of the whole thing. And maybe if you can just summarize the meaning for me, I'm a bit lost. What does it mean? And the question that was asked by the chairpersons and deputy chairpersons last year in November, where does the power lie? I think the department must answer this question. Where does the power lie? Does it lie with the department? Does it lie with the entities? Does it lie with... Where does the power lie? Kulento ye entities, ne department. And this is a serious, serious problem. I want to... To give you just a minute for you to summarize for me, what does this mean? Does it mean you can transgress as much as possible? It doesn't matter with the department, we'll bring you back. And so I don't understand this. Can you summarize it for me? Maybe in just one or two sentences to say, this is what this report means. This is what it means. Because I've been trying to think, and I can't find it in my mind, what this thing that you've just reported means. What's the meaning of it? In two sentences, this is what it means. Summarize it, did you please?
Chairperson, I hear the honourable members' issue they are raising, but also I think it would be very, very unfair if I don't raise this issue. Chairperson, the reports, the forensic reports that have been done here, we are presenting the outcome of that, and they are very clear on what transgressions, according to the report, have been found. And that means a due process must be followed for someone who is being accused of wrongdoing. And that is what this House has always advised. We need to make sure that consequence management is followed. And that does not mean breaking the laws of this country in dealing with that matter. Now, when we're presenting this report, it clearly states what wrongdoing has been found and leveled against the CEO, who consequently had to be taken through the disciplinary processes by the NAC board. And I am reporting, Chair, that that is what the chairperson, even myself and the minister, met with him to say this is what we would like to see being done, because we do not spend money on these forensics only for them to gather dust, but for them to be actioned upon based on what the findings say. So and then I'm presenting to you that when we followed up on what is being done, there was a clear indication that there was a process to appoint a disciplinary company that will manage this process. And when they indicated there might be an obstacle in terms of funding because the company might be too expensive.
DG, what we want to understand is that here is Oli Swatom. She has transgressed in this portfolio committee or in this institution. And it is clear, the transgressions are clear. And Oli Swatom's contract is coming to an end tomorrow. An issue that was asked by Honorable Maikondo, it's as clear as if it was yesterday. He actually asked in a portfolio committee meeting, when does the contract of the CEO come to an end? And are you waiting until that time comes for you to act? That you can retrieve it from that meeting, the audio, whatever, from that meeting. And I don't remember what the response was, but the question is clear. And now, because you have failed to hold me accountable, you are extending my contract. I have transgressed, and you are now extending my contract because of your failure to do your own work, to do the work that you are supposed to do. You are extending my contract because you have failed to do what you were supposed to do at the time. Who is paying in this instance? Who is paying? Tell me. Tell the portfolio committee. Ngubani ngoku ohlawulayo kuba i-department ne-council zifailishile ukwenza umsebenzi waso ngexesha ebezifana uba zenzile umsebenzi. Who has now to pay for the failure of the department and its entity? Because nanibuziwe i-portfolio committee on that day, are you waiting for the contract of the CEO to come to an end before you act? Saifumana ke answer namhlanje. You were waiting because you wanted to extend the contract. This is what we are reading in between the lines from what you are not saying, Gwen. Because this is what is happening. You were asked, when was it? How many months was that ago? A while ago. You did not act, and it's only now that you're acting and the manner in which you're acting really leaves much to be desired. Yeah. Well, when you're looking at this thing, did you win, like, as a person, when you're looking at the, is this the best way you could have done to deal with this? Is this the best thing that you'd have done with this report, giving us this report, saying that all these good things that you are saying, is it when you close your eyes at the end of the day, do you really feel that this is the best way that you would have, you know, really, did you, I don't know. And I'm fooling again. I don't want to enter in other areas of the discussion. But the manner in which you are dealing with things in the department leaves much to be desired. It really leaves much to be desired. And the manner in which you behave, not answering to important questions, because the question that was asked in November last year, when I asked the department, what about the, where does the power lie really? Do the entities, do the council of the entities have the final say? And is it okay with the department? But you said, Diamond, the issue has been dealt with. That issue was dealt with as if it was Kwanele's market theater issue. It was not Kwanele's issue. It's broader than that. It's broader than the market theater's issue, the person who raised the issue of power. It's broader than that. And it goes to each and every entity beyond the person who raised it. Even in this instance, this question comes up. Is it the council that's going to say, no, there's nothing we can do? We are reinstating the CEO. We are extending the contract. And for how long has this been extended? The contract has been extended. Can we give us that information?
And including the process.
And the process of doing this.
I wanted to ask about the contract. How long has it been? Because the DG did not exactly say whether he is reappointed again for a fixed term or it's just a contract for a certain period. Can we be told of the status of the reappointment or whatever that you call it, Chair?
Thank you. Honorable Tsoledi has covered me with that question, but I just wanted to know, when did the department receive this report of forensic? Because I hear TG come with the program that they meet with the minister, they're going to be in action. I wanted to know, when did you receive the report? Because when you talk about labor peace and stability, you know, the unions were coming. The last time when you went there, the union did came and lay their case, but the department didn't want to take this thing seriously. And if the CEO is still there, what are we saying about the employees there? And what are we saying about the members of the public that are looking on us in the NEC? For me, Chair, if the department is fair, they need to suspend the CEO with the immediate effect. She need to leave that office before the community will go and take her out. You must do something about that. You mustn't do us a favor. But, Chair, it goes back again to the monitoring and evaluation of the department. That directorate doesn't work totally. We have raised this thing long time ago, before the forensic. We did see it as honorable members. So I just wanted to know, when did they get this report? We need to check how many days the department is having this report. Because if it's 7 days, you're supposed already acted on it. If it's 14 days, you have transgress again, you as a department. Thank you.
Honorable
Chair, the last point, I wanted to respond on what the DG was raising on the issue of consequence management. Yes, DG, we have been saying it in the portfolio committee that it's important to have consequence management. But I think when we are applying it, we should not be selective, because the problem with this department is you are selective. Others, while we are dealing with their problems, you take them out, you put them out. Whether it's, you will not be transgressing any law when you take a person, when you suspend a person, you take a person to a precautionary leave, because I believe if you are dealing with the investigation or whatever that the process that you'll be following, you cannot follow it to the latter when the person implicated is the head. When the person implicated is the head of that institution, I'm telling you, you are not going to proceed well with whatever that is going to fall. What we're saying is, we are not saying something that is against the law. Remove the person, take the person out in the meantime while we are busy with the process. It has been done. It has been done. As we are speaking, even the president himself, he does it every time. He has removed Moyane while he's busy with the process on this side. It's not something that it's not done. We're saying, as a portfolio committee, while you are busy, for us to be sure that you are really acting on this matter, please, can you do this? Can you try to make sure that person, you remove the person? Because what is going to follow now? Some of us, as a public member, as a citizen of South Africa, I'll go out of this meeting now and open a case here, because I've got a report. I can open a case, a criminal case against this person at any police station that is around the corner. So please, can we really do the right thing? Can we really do the right thing? Now, the point is, Chair, we will find that as if this person is exceptionally well, is exceptional amongst all the people that have been there. From 2014 up until now, there are a lot of CEOs of entities that have been suspended once there is information that they are implicated in wrongdoing. But with this one, it's a matter that really needs much to be questioned, whatever, Chair. But I think we need the minister to come in this portfolio committee, Chair, and explain. This matter really, it also needs the minister. I propose to the committee that we need to call the minister to come and explain this matter to us, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Did you join? Come in.
Yes, the Chair, President, as you asked a very direct question, and I would be also direct on this. When the matter around the issue of the reappointment of the CEO in the face of these findings, I personally called the chairperson, because I needed to find whether the rumor was true or not, and why would he do it in the first place. Because to answer that question directly, my advice was against reappointing a person whose contract had expired. And I told him that in a meeting, to say, that is my advice, you can't do this thing, it will send a wrong message. He explained the reasons on why they want to do that. I then escalated the matter, and I said, I think before you do anything around this place of reappointment or make that decision, you rather check with the minister as a chairperson and the board. Minister convened upon hearing this issue an urgent meeting with them. Now, not only with the chairperson, but with the board, to say, this is what I'm hearing, the DG says we are intending to do this thing, and it is our view that that should not be the case. Then they explained their reason about not guilty until found guilty, and all the reasons they provided on why they think they need to proceed, and then if she is found guilty as a CEO, they will then make sure that the fitting a corrective action is done at that time. So that is when then this issue was then a decision by the board at that time to say, this is what they're going to do. But if you ask from my perspective and what I did to warn against that issue, that is what we did. So it is not about collusion by the department. I think this must be clear. Now, they said, how do they apply a rule of punishing her? How will they deal with the issues of the allegations disciplining her when she's outside? They gave a lot of reasons when I asked this question and advised against that. So I am clear on where I stand around the matter, and we advised against that action, such that even when there was a decision to say they wanted to appoint her and they said it would have reappointed her for that period of 5 years, I even explained to him that how do you do that, and because we will be seen to be rewarding wrongdoing. But their position was that she has not been found guilty, and therefore they will be able to deal with the process of DC. Once that has happened, they will then be able to take the action required. Hence then we said to them, give us your process and your report to us on every action taken so that we know that you are acting on the recommendations. Even as of yesterday, he was giving me a feedback on where they are with the issue of the charges. Because the intention was to monitor whether they are doing that or not. Now, he then indicated yesterday something that because she has not communicated to them, I can just share with the committee. But I think it will just be prejudicial to do that at this stage, because he said he was going to give me a feedback this afternoon or this evening on one of the options relating to what the portfolio committee have just raised. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, there is nothing collusive about this matter. We have, and I'm very clear about what I would have expected to be done, but that is what the board at that time has decided to do.
You see, the DG has not responded to the question. The question that I wanted him to respond to was, what is the process? You are a DG of the department. You are appointed on a contract, which is 5 years, no? Yeah. What then happens after 5 years? The post is not advertised. If the minister wants to reappoint you, he just reappoints you without actually not following a process. Then number two, I understand the board to be representing the minister. They are acting on fiduciary duties of the minister. On what you have said, if those ones they were acting on behalf of the minister, it might imply that the minister might have given them a go-ahead to do that. I'm not saying it happens like that. I'm not saying that. But by implication that they act on his behalf, because that's fiduciary duties, it implies that. But I have a problem. And you see, we've been raising this thing of appointing wrong people in our entities, because those are our entities. What he was talking about, and I'm even surprised because he was convinced. And when he was talking nothing, that's rubbish, nothing. You see, the law that deals with employees, it's different from the law that deals with criminals in a court of law. In a court of law, deal with the issue of proving beyond reasonable doubt. But when you deal with employees, it's a matter of a balance of probability. There must be no beyond reasonable doubt. The fact that there was a transgression and we've been talking about, it's a guilty itself. You know yourself. It's a guilty itself. It's for that person to prove that he is not guilty. Not you. It's different. When I'm charged as an employee, I'm guilty. I must prove that I'm not guilty. But in a court of law, when you charge me, the onus is on you to prove that I'm guilty. So it's different. And I'm surprised. No. That's why I'm saying there must be something that we are not told here. And what is it that we are not told? How did we follow the law when we appointed this person? Can you take us through the process that appointed you, DG?
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Can you deal with the process and confirm that you're saying that it's for 5 years? You confirm that she has been reappointed for 5 years.
We'll just take the process. Okay. But I can assure that the process that was done was... okay, let me just allow... The DG in charge of the entities. But yes, that is what they said the contract they offered here is 5 years.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I think the report was presented to the Council by the forensic team and our DAC forensic manager on the 9th of June, before the contract expired of the CEO.
When was the contract for the CEO expired?
End of June.
So it was presented that same month?
It was presented the same month, Chair, to the Council on the 9th of June. And in that meeting, the Council deliberated on the contract of the CEO because the HR committee had said and, you know, looked at the report and deliberated on the appointment of the CEO. So just to indicate that the council was split around this matter, whether to appoint, but the council was cautioned that there is this matter hanging around. But the chairperson of the council had received a report before that, PC, Honorable Portfolio Council members. So when the report was presented, they were cautioned. It was not only the CEO, but also the CFO, who was coming from NAVF, because they had also received a letter from NAVF regarding their CFO, to say there are these two issues regarding the executive management team of the NAC. They deliberated on that matter, and then they indicated that they will make a decision on the 5th. That is why the matter was then escalated to Minister, to DG and to Minister, to say it cannot be that they are considering the reappointment of the CEO, because I then indicated to DG that there is this problem that the council is considering. Upon hearing, because we were not in the council meeting of Sunday the 10th of June, on Monday, the chairperson and the two council members then went to the CEO and then offered the contract, but it was not in writing. It was a verbal offer. And then Minister made
an undertaking to meet with the entire council because he indicated that there's reputational, and also the public out there is watching NAC because of the challenges that they faced. They advanced reasons why they should reappoint the CEO. And Minister, there are minutes of that meeting that the council had with Minister, where Minister cautioned, but then they advanced the reasons why they would be reappointing, and that they would then take disciplinary action against the CEO because the reports had these, they made certain conclusions regarding the challenges that were found in the entity. But that's to indicate that the department, DG, had a meeting with the chairperson, minister had a meeting with the entire council regarding the very same matter because it was just going to blow in the face of the South African society. So they were really challenged. The contract, what councils do is that when they have to look at the report that comes for the HR committee, and the HR committee will then say, do we extend or not extend the contract of the CEO? And then once they are happy as the board, they can then extend. But ideally, it will be to advertise for the post of the CEO, Honorable Makondo. Ideally, if the contract comes to an end, maybe 3 months before, you need to re-advertise for the post of the CEO, ideally. But then they have to look at it and then as a council make a determination whether to extend or not extend. But ideally, the contract, once upon termination, the post is re-advertised.
Honorable Khotpo, do you want to? Okay. Honorable Khotpo.
Chairperson, I think the minister must come and explain what is happening here. Because if the matter went to HR board of the council, it came back to the DG and the minister, and the person, now she's being appointed. It shows that maybe nobody has the thing. So the minister must come and tell us what is happening. Really, how can you appoint somebody that is having something hanging on her? The minister must come and explain to this committee this process. And what do you say back? Who has power in appointing? It's the minister. DG, but if the minister can't say anything, I'm having a problem. Who's appointing the board? The final person who's putting the signature in terms of the appointees of the council is the minister. But the same minister again, he's quiet, Chair. I think the minister really needs to come and explain to us. He must come and tell South Africa what is happening with this process.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Pulangulu and Honorable Tulet.
Thanks, Chairperson. In agreement with the Honorable Mkhotsi, I think we also need to meet with the board because it's like the chairperson only who is responding to all the issues. So I think we need to meet with the board and get the information. We may find that the board itself doesn't know of what is happening inside there. Only the chairperson knows. So I think, Mina, before we met with the minister, we should call the board to come and see us here. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay,
Honorable. I agree with Honorable Bilangulu. We need to call the board. I think we need to follow the same process that we followed at one stage with the board of PENSAL, where you write letters individually to them inviting to come to the portfolio committee. All the board members. We must make sure that all of them, Chair, they are here, and all of them, they will have to answer individually about the meeting that said on that day that took a decision. I think we also need the minutes of that meeting that took a decision that is wrong, Chair. I think we really need to do that. Otherwise, this issue, if as we see here, kai lohlo, as we see here, pambili la ukubeke kani tu yenze kai.
What is it, Chair? It's just unfortunate that they will leave without responding to my question of the process, but it's fine if they elect not to. I'll, in addition, Chair, I agree with my colleagues that we need to meet the board as a matter of agency. All of them, they must receive individual letters to come and appear before this portfolio committee. Secondly, Chair, we must get a public service commission just to brief us. A short presentation on the appointment of senior managers like CEO and DGs in government, that particular process, so that we know whether they have acted unlawfully or they were within their right to do so as the board. I think if we can be briefed, but also I agree with my colleagues that at the very same meeting, because I believe the board is acting on behalf of the minister, the minister must be present. It will also help him to get a presentation from the Public Service Commission so that going forward, such things like this don't happen. So that's my suggestion, Chair.
To honorable members, and as I'm sitting here, I was also looking at involving our own legal unit here in Parliament, just for us to get all the information, all the minutes, the decisions that were taken and who took those decisions, so that the legal unit can go through those minutes to ensure that, to brief us if everything has been done according to the law. It's within the legal framework. So if we can get that information as soon as yesterday, so that our legal unit from tomorrow starts looking at the at these issues, because truly speaking, I mean, having a person who has transgressed according to the report that you have just received, and you give that person a 5-year contract again. It's beyond my understanding. Maybe really age is catching up with me, and I don't understand issues, but it's just beyond my understanding. Indoba, with the report that is in front of you, you go out and extend the contract for 5 years.
And if the report, that report check can just be emailed to us today.
Yes, I think it's important for us to get the information so that as the portfolio committee, as we engage with the legal unit, we have the information. Let us step off this issue that has taken a lot of our time. And
thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the Council used Section 13.4 of the NAC Act to extend the contract of the CEO, because they can extend if they found fitting, but I think the legal people will have to look at that, Chair.
To extend a contract even if a person has transgressed, to extend, even if a person, they have a report in front of them that is saying that this person has transgressed, I think that's the line that we need to look at, because they have that latitude. It's in the act. But even if they have in front of their eyes a report that says, I have transgressed, I think we need to look into this. We are going to let our legal team, Jabu, just stipulate the documents that we need. And as Honorable Makonde suggested, can we receive the emails, those documents as well? And as we engage the legal unit from tomorrow, they must be engaged, because on Tuesday next week, this has to be dealt with. This matter has to be dealt with. And if you are writing letters inviting these members of the council, do it not later than today. End of business today. It must be in their inboxes, in the invitation. Because we need to deal with this. And it's a pity. It's a pity, really, as the portfolio committee, that we have to deal with administrative matters of entities. It's just a pity. Because you wouldn't think that we would have to go that far as the portfolio committee. It's a pity, DG. It's really a pity. And it shows the type of administration that you have in the department. It goes back to the type for us as the portfolio committee to discuss how a person was employed, how a contract was extended. You are a Nasululaza one. Because you're failing to do your work, we have to do this type of thing, that we have to delve into administrative matters. Because this is an administrative matter. So it's really sad. It's really sad, really. Let us go to the other issues just briefly, DJ, to tell us where we are with these matters. And honorable members, I think the most important thing that we need to do is to receive the quarterly report, those fourth quarter and first quarter reports. That's the most important thing. But if you can just briefly tell us where we are with this issue. Over to you, Dutch.
On the issue of chairperson of
Parkoffs, okay, firstly, we will get the forensic report to the portfolio committee as requested. Chair,
give us the reasons that were given to you and the minister for the reinstatement. We need to know why those reasons, please, for what they meant.
That will be done, Honorable Chairperson. Then on the issue of Parkoffs, the report was provided, but I think the main issue, Chair, that we might just to check you through the report, when we look at their staffing issues, you will see that currently the issue of the CEO at Parkoffs, the interviews have been conducted, and they still without the CEO at this stage. They conducted the interviews, and then there were concerns that were raised about the leaking of information on who is being recommended, and the unions that they raised their concerns around the matter, and that is what is being addressed at this stage. And hopefully that institution should be able to have this matter resolved as soon as possible so that they can really have the head of the institution. But they had conducted those interviews. On the issue of cases that were pending and the status of those cases, on the issue of the former CEO, around the issue, the sanction that was there issued in September 2016, was the dismissal, but then the matter is still under the Labour Court. On the issue of the finance manager, a matter was finalized in favor of Parkoffs. The development manager, who was dismissed, reinstatement was then done after it was found in his favor, and therefore then had to resume duty on the 18th of June 2018. The sound technician issue on suspension, we are waiting for, they are waiting for their report, but the disciplinary hearing process was finalized. And then on the issue of the driver, on alleged theft, dismissal, and the hearing has been concluded. and then on the logistics officer, the suspension, the disciplinary process at the time of preparing this report was still on. On the issue of the restructuring, Chairperson, it's a detailed report on where they are, but the council meeting with the union was convinced on the 17th of August, and the DAC was also part of invited to that meeting, and these were the resolutions of that meeting, that both union would be part of the steering committee, that no union member will participate in the CO interview process, even as observers, that the process of interviews is in an HR matter, and therefore PACOF's HR officer will sit in all the interviewing sessions, and the follow-up meeting will then be held on the 24th of August, which will address some of the operational issues that were raised relating to inconsistencies about the staff matters. Consequent to the noting of the regularities and appointment of CEO, then the council terminated its contract with the recruitment company that was handling the recruitment process. Council further then nullified the entire recruitment process and instructed management to restart the process. So we're hoping that this process will then enable PACOFS to really finalize and have the appointed CEO on full time, without these irregularities that were identified. Now, on the issue of the absence of the internal audit functions, the internal audit function is now in operation after engaging with the council on this matter and to make sure that it is addressed as a matter of agency. On the disciplinary code, that has been breached by the council and has been inconsistent in its processes as one of the allegations. There was then a group that was recommended by DSC of all the stakeholders, and the dates are still to be confirmed by PACOFS on that issue, so that there is clarity of the application of the disciplinary code, and that if it is shared and understood by all, then it is easy to implement and manage. Leakage of council agenda that is not meant for other cases of other stakeholders for consumption. The PA to the CO is still assisting with the coordination of council activities. That the council is in the process of appointing a company secretary. And then the salary increases. Currently, the negotiations are in progress at the entity on the issue of the salary increases. And then the minister's emphasis on the council that PACOFS need to prioritize their core business. I don't know that also the turnaround is implemented and should be submitted to DAC. The council is consolidating the document, and we are expecting that by end of this month we should be having that document. Council members profiling themselves using PACOFS resources for their own gain. We are following up on this matter, both from management as well as the council. The allegation on the issue of the portfolio committee interfering at PACOFS and using PACOFS resources for their personal gain, this matter was an issue that was raised at the meeting where the meeting started, at the meeting. From our side, it was quite clear that that matter can just be brought to the attention of the Polf Committee that has as an allegation leveled against them. And then they were using the issues of Edith Makufe. It was just raised with the minister at that meeting. But then the issue of the executive management. As I indicated, that this matter was when it was raised, There was just a simple undertaking that, look, there is this allegation. Minister was to then bring to the portfolio committee's attention, and that is what I hope had happened. If not, then we'll have to just deal with the matter. But that is what was raised at the meeting.
No, you don't do that.
That is very serious.
No, you don't do that.
That column is very, very serious. And you can't just let people say that, stand there, that the portfolio committee, they must be specific and come up with the specific instances when this has happened. And with the instances, what we heard from the minister, Umakhonto never even went to he doesn't even know what Makhufe is about. And he was there, they were saying he's the person who was doing this thing. He has never gone to Makhufe. You see? So it's very serious. And whatever. So I think it's very serious and it needs to be dealt with before this parliament rises. We have to deal with this thing because the officials will go out there and say things that we need to put it on record. When they say the portfolio committee, they must be specific.
Is your van? Did you?
There's a name.
When am I expecting that?
I think we've got the minutes of that meeting. Mm. We can just make sure that and the names that were being mentioned there. We will forward that chair. Can I carry that? Is it possible to get that by next week, Tuesday or by Friday?
We'll have to get the
meeting. Let me say by Tuesday, Chairperson, because I just need to get the minutes. Remember?
The name of person.
You're giving a report of the issues that were raised in the portfolio committee. You follow them up, isn't it? Now you're giving us feedback, isn't it? So what minutes are you forwarding? Because you attended the meeting that you attended. There were things that were said, but you select not to follow them up. You select not to follow them up, but you follow others. And you just leave us like this. You know, you see. You put an allegation on us and you just leave us like that. It must be followed. You must investigate. Because this is serious. If people are using public resources for their own personal issues, that is serious. An action must be taken to those who allow that to happen, but also to those who do that using their own positions. So that's what I need.
Before you say anything, in fact, to add to that, even the person who was making the allegation then must come to the fore. Honorable, so
yes, I wanted to say that the person who has made the allegation must come to the fore and substantiate on the allegation. Because you cannot, like when a person is saying you interfere, she must be clear or she must be clear that what type of an interference that you are doing. Because this is the second time that in PECOF this is coming. In 2014, when we arrived here, you remember that there was a statement that was saying politicians in the Fifth Estate are interfering. And it never came to us who exactly are those politicians that are interfering. We cannot leave issues like this with PECOFs, where they will always make assumptions or make allegations about people and then it's not attended. Because even that one was never attended to at that time when they were making the allegation. And it was then CEO who was suspended, who was making that allegation that politicians are interfering in PECOFs. And also on this one, Chair, I think that person who has made the statement, we need the allegations, he must come with everything, evidence that Honorable Solid is interfering. This is how she is interfering. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable.
We will provide that, Chairman, because it was in a meeting. It was not in some in camera thing, and the names were mentioned there. So it's not something that we don't have. We will provide that, but also for substantive reasons, we will engage also with those affected people who raise those allegations. But every person who was speaking there, we've got the names, and they were saying they were not saying it out of anonymity. So it's not something that is a secret. The executive management is spinelessly controlled by middle management. The council was then advised to fill up all the executive vacancies as the acting officials are not respected by their staff. Because when someone is acting, there will always be maybe that allegation that is not firm or not making, or she is not making firm decisions. Because I'm only just acting. So that issue of filling the post permanently. Staff ill discipline, colluding with political leaders and pushing for their political interests at the entity. This was advised that it's very critical for employees to refrain from imposing their own political affiliations to other employees or on their work environment. And that was an advice that was given that people must do that with caution and really be very clear on what they are saying. Because white allegations do not help. Because there was no mention of any name. The lack of communication by management. These were the issues that addressed to say that there is a need for predetermined scheduled date meetings so that there is feedback to the staff and to all the EMT members concerned when there have been meetings. Council not formally met the staff. This has happened on the 29th of June 2018. Wellness program concerns that they had and has listed this matter as one of their priorities and will be monitoring that they do get that resolved so that employees, like in any other working environment, employee wellness issue is prioritized. Infrastructure challenges, the leaking of the roofs. The CEO has managed to source a service provider that will protest fixing of theatre roof for shows to continue in a conducive environment. The issue of the cleaning of the facility, they had raised the issue that there is a shortage of staff in terms of the cleaning services, and it was difficult for them to deal with the whole facility. However, CEO has since sourced a service provider to capacitate the cleaning staff, and they have started already to deal with the cleanliness of the facility.
So when you say the CEO, is this the acting CEO?
Yes, the acting CEO, Honorable Chair. On the national video, National Film and Video Foundation. The update there, Chair, is in a nutshell that is after the grievances were received against the management of NFVF and requesting ministry's intervention, these were then seen as quite matters of serious nature and required that they be attended to. So then the chairperson of council was notified, and then there was forensic investigation. Then the letter by the chairperson, acknowledged by the chairperson, and assurance given that NFVF council was indeed dealing with the issues and that they will cooperate with the investigation. This happened, as we reported before, that this is on the 21st of August 2017. We went there and we met with the CEO of the NFVF, who intend to introduce the appointed service provider who conducted an investigation that was concluded and in December 2017 by the company called Comperio Forensic Services. Upon that, then the DAC presented the report to the council, the forensic report in February. Subsequent to that, the allegations made by the whistleblower and relates to the non-compliance, irregular conduct, wastage or abuse of resources by much of NFVF. The CEO was allegedly depriving the staff of opportunity to attend skills training, but also that by the year 2017, NFVF offices were renovated without following proper SCM, confronting on irregular appointment of two identified external service providers that were providing consultative services for about 3 years. Management, in particular the CEO, allowed an approved travel course for three identified council members, knowing that they are conducting personal business under the pretext of official trips. The aforesaid council members were demanding specific luxuries and comfort, not in line with cost containment measures, and including overseas claims and subsistence and travel allowances. But also there were allegations about misalignment on job responsibilities by affording undeserving staff members opportunity to travel on local international film festivals. The deputy chairperson of the council is related to the HR manager, and it appears that there could be conflict of interest, nepotism and favoritism, that the CEO failed or neglected to timely attend to grievance lodged by the staff. These were the allegations that were being presented to the minister at the time. The appointment of Susan Salobo Kobodo during July, August 2017, to conduct some investigation after being informed otherwise by the minister, and that they should appear to be regular, and there appears to be conflict of interest as they are already NFVF internal auditors and they report directly to NFVF. The head of IT then resigned and has since left employment of NFVF. It is alleged at that time that he was asked to reveal identity of the whistleblower that are protected by the law of the Protected Disclosure Act of 26 of 2000. So these were the allegations that were leveled. What then happened was that on the 19th of February 2018, Council convened a special meeting where decision was taken to engage legal experts and to advise on an appropriate course of action against management subsequent to the forensic report. The following has been done thus far. Letters of demand have been sent to the CEO as well as the former the CFO, as well as the former council member, to recover the funds spent unlawfully at the 2017 SAFTAS Awards. A charge sheet had been finalized against the CEO and was presented to her on the 16th of May, and then settlement process will follow. However, then the CEO chose to resign in May 2018, and at this stage we have an acting CEO, and that is Mr. Mukaba, who was formerly a council member as an interim CEO until the post is filled. Then the CFO, Ms. Carrenson, then resigned, who is now a CFO at NAC, and there were then NAC has been also informed of the same issues or findings against her. However, then a new CFO has been appointed and has assumed work as of the 2nd of July. Upon resignation of the head of communication and marketing, a new head of production and development, communication and marketing was appointed and has assumed duty as of June 2018. Upon resignation of the head of policy and research, and that of corporate services, new post head of operations was advertised and interviews conducted, and we are awaiting the announcement of the appointment thereof. Council is in the process of recruiting the CEO. The DAC, we are just monitoring closely on the current status of affairs there. The latest site visit by PC was done on the 8th of June 2018, and the NFVF Council informed the NAC Council about allegations leveled against the former CFO, who is currently employed by the NAC, so that the NAC can take necessary steps. And the notice of formal disciplinary charges will be prepared as soon as appointment of the initiator and the chairperson has been finalized. That is an update on NFIF.
On the why is it so difficult for government, particularly Department of Arts and Culture, for a process of disciplinary process? Why does it take long? I'm raising this issue. This issue of the CFO who's at NAC, it has got history, that matter. It's not the issue of this year. When did you go there last year? She was there, we raised it then. Why is it the processes of government, particularly DAC and your entities, takes long when you are to deal with the issues of disciplinary processes? What is the problem? What is the problem? The other issue, it relates to the CEO herself. The CEO of this video film foundation. Why it took so long to deal with them? I mean, she was even the evidence was so compelling, no suspension, nothing. And when you give us a report here, you said you have given a notice to appear on the hearing on the 4th, then she resigned on the 8th. On a matter that was long there. Why is it has to be like this? Are your unit that deals with these entities unempowered to track these issues? Because that's where these issues need to be coordinated. Because from where we are sitting, all these challenges that are in these entities, and if that unit is not properly empowered to deal with these issues, we'll continue to have this mess. And what are you saying about that?
I wanted to go a little bit on the PECOFS 1 report because we did not engage with it. I'm checking now, comparing the NAC report and the PECOFS 1 part, especially on the issue of the chairperson of the board. Because I also believe that the chairperson of NAC needs to, the same thing that has happened with the PECOFS 1 needs to happen to that chairperson. The PECOFS chairperson was suspended. She was suspended immediately when they find out that she is the problem. And the NAC chairperson, he is a problem. He is a problem, Chair. And we have said so not only on this meeting, I think two meetings that we had with them before this, we could see that this chairperson is really a problem. And it's surprising because he's an advocate or sort of, but how he does things leaves much to be desired, Chair. So I really want to understand the inconsistencies that are happening in these entities. The other one are treated with the soft gloves. The other one are treated with the leather gloves, like the Memokotsi ones. The other one with the wool glove. So you don't know what is really happening, Chair. Perhaps also, Chair, on the issue, the matter that has been raised also on PECOFS, we need to really be serious and follow those matters. But nevertheless, Chair, I think, although I was outside when I got in, I think there is a movement in PECOFS, Chair, that I'm happy to share with the Portfolio Committee. Remember, the Portfolio Committee has intervened on the issue of the litigations, especially on the issue of Mr. Vesely Senior, who is the artistic something there in PECOF. And Chair, I'm happy to say, just 6 days after he has been reinstated, PECOF is buzzing with activities now. I've had an opportunity of attending activities throughout my constituency period. I think they will say I was interfering, but I was attending, going to the shows, going to all because I was invited. I don't know whether it amounts to interference when you go to the institution, go and watch all the nicest things that are happening in the institution. So you can see, Chair, immediately when you deal decisively with people that are hindering progress, then progress starts to happen. So one is also expecting that the same way we are acting in other institutions, let's act the same way, whether it's NSVF or it's NAC or any other institution. Because now if you don't act on others and then you act on others, we become suspicious, Chair. I'm happy, really, Honorable Sobom, there's a lot that is happening in PECOF. Even this weekend, I've got an invitation already to go, and activities are every time. Theater is back in the Free State. People are beginning to, and they are well attended, Chair. There's a lot of things that are happening. In a short period that I was, the 2 months that I was there, I can say a lot of things have happened. So for 5 years when this guy was not there in the institution, nothing was happening. For 2 months that he's back, there is a lot of progress that is happening. And the acting CEO is doing a good job. The acting CEO and the CFO. Remember, they promised us when they were here, Chair, in the portfolio committee, that they will turn things around, both two of them. And honestly, they are turning things around. Unfortunately, I will not stop to go into any government entity simply because people will judge me and say I'm interfering. I will go to almost all of them. I do go to the apartheid museum, and nobody is saying anything. And, Chair, there is a collaboration. All those entities, the AC entities that are in the Free State, that person, the CEO in PECOF, together with the team, the new team that is working, they've made a point that they collaborate with all of them. All of them. You get your museum was there, the other museum, the War Museum was there, and the other national museum, your national libraries, they were able to showcase everything that they were having within PECOS in this short space of time. So, any actor, DJ, things will happen. But if any actor, a tiny decisively, Linga Ketika. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members, I think just to indicate that from NAVF, some of the funds, monies that were owed, you know, when people took their children to the SAFTA, some of the funds were recovered. For example, the CFO, the former CFO, they recovered 70,000 that she paid for the family. But it does not mean that disciplinary measures should not be taken against her, because the matter is now with the NAC. So they managed to recover the 70 million. They are also recovering from the former CEO. And also from the deputy chairperson, the former deputy chairperson of the council, because they've issued the summonses to the value of 39,000 members. So the council, because we always ask the chairperson of the council to give an update on these matters. So there's a report that came yesterday regarding the measures they've taken. Even one of the council members, when he went to Cannes and went to London, and there was no NSVF business in London. So that matter, they are taking action against it. As the entities management unit, we really monitor, but at times we are failed by the council in terms of giving the reports timely.
Thank you very much. I think what Honorable Bulete is saying, when we act, there is change in the entities. And Now, you know, you are telling us that even when the people are not within the entity, you can actually follow them, wherever they are, to recoup the money that they misappropriated. Mm-hmm. And really, it takes you back to the last discussion that we had about NAC, that you have this person, you hold it, because you want the person to be here when you deal with the issues. Meanwhile, in other entities, you are able to follow up on issues even when the people have left already. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that really we need to look into when we engage with the entities to ensure that we are even-handed.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Honorable Chair, as indicated, the question by Honorable Kondo was why does it take so long? I think, Honorable Kondo, what we are doing is to really want to engage directly with both the CEO and the Chairperson, and that has assisted in terms of them able to say if there is a matter reported. We then want them to have a schedule of reporting on progress they are making. Because some of these matters, as you indicated earlier, and are the matters that I one found there, and the Podcom was saying there is more movement. But most of them, if you look at what interventions are being made, even the implementation of those forensic reports, the intention is to make sure that we really monitor that once the report is there, there is a clear mechanism to make sure that they implement that. So the concerns about taking too long to act are shared, and I can just commit, Chair, at this stage to say that I hope that with the stricter monitoring and supervision, we should be able to hold the CEOs accountable where there is a delay or inaction. I mean, the chairperson of the NFVF have really been, with his counsel, really very decisive. I mean, if you look at the time when the report was presented and the time they took to act, it was quite clear that they meant that they will implement. But we needed them to report almost on a weekly basis, and by where are they with the following items based on the report. So the issue of inconsistency, Chair, we will do our best to address this issue. Where it is deliberate, deal with those who are colluding, but where it's clearly a process issue, look at how to deal with the process. But our intention is to really make sure that there is uniformity and predictability in how we deal with the matters. Chair, can I then move to the next term? The Ditsong Museum. Relating to Ditsong Museum, there were issues relating to governance, and the council constituted of 9 members, and the attendance rate to be confirmed in the upcoming site visits. But that is the main issue there. The expiring date of the council was on the 31st of July 2019, and the attendance of the council meetings tracked by a chairperson as well as the council secretary to make sure that there is attendance and there is no defaulting on the attendance of the meetings, because if meetings are not attended, it affects decision making. The leadership issues that were raised upon the resigning of the CEO at the end of June, the advert to source a new CEO was then made, and the permanent CEO appointed in November 2017. Unfortunately, this again became a very short stint, as the CEO then resigned in March 2018, and the new CEO has been appointed then in June. Suspension of the CFO, due to the gravity of the audit outcome, council suspended the CFO and instituted a forensic audit investigation. Permanent CFO was appointed then in January 2018. The HR manager suspension, the permanent, that manager left at the end of February, and a permanent one has been appointed with effect from the 1st of July 2018. On the organizational matters, the progress today, Chair, if I go straight to that, there was an issue of the new structure that to be submitted to DAC and for consideration by the minister. And the council has approved that the CEO prioritizes the following critical posts in that regard. The director of Natural was filled the 1st of June 2017 and resigned the 31st of October. The acting director then currently is in place and is in the processing of filling the vacant position. Cultural History Museum position was filled on in 2nd of January 2018, and the process then is underway to recruit the Natural History Museum director. Shortlisting was scheduled for 19th of July at the time when this report was prepared, and with expectation that by September they would have appointed the director for Natural History Museum. On the labor matters, the former director of the Military Museum alleged that the CEO disclosed the medical condition to staff at the Military Museum. This matter was then the DAC communicated it to the Ditso Museum to resolve the issue, and that the DMSA has then responded and provided the details of their legal team. The matter is before the High Court, and the DMSA is defending this matter, and they are still waiting for the court to issue the date. So the matter is still with the Labor Court. On the complaints about racism at the military, the council was directed to the CEO to further investigate and to report back to council, and the matter has been finalized through the facilitation of an independent chairperson of NEASA, and DIMSA has since conducted a workshop on racism funded by South African Human Rights Commission. Hotline investigations. Audit committee recommended that a forensic audit on all the historic contracts that DITSOM has contracted and were not completed as per the specifications. The entity then appointed the Sizwe Ntsalobo Gobodo to investigate, and the preliminary report was then finalized. The matter has been concluded. The council has resolved to separate with the CFO at a cost of 5.5 months of her contract as at the end of August 2017. And then the settlement does not close the ongoing criminal case opened against the CFO. 14th day, Zwaying staff, the fence and the patrol team are permanent employees enjoying the pension benefits and leave benefits. The team is working on a shift system of 2 weeks in and out. Court order referred to employees was reviewed to confirm DIMSA's compliance, and all issues related to it have been closed. The management and concerned staff agreed to frame the employment contract around 3 shifts of 8 hours each per day for the fence patrol team. On the Pioneer Museum Farmers Market, the tender was advertised and awarded to a new company, and there is just a disagreement between DIMSA and coordinating concepts on the terms of the contract. DIMSA and coordinating concepts still need to resolve that disagreement, and if not resolved, the bid will be cancelled and will have to be re-tendered. Public inquiries, allegations of mismanagement leveled by the Nokaya Tswaying Foundation. The submission is en route to inform minister and sign a letter to the council to attend to the allegations. But we would like to just assure the full committee that the museums located within the low-density communities should be able to aspire to efficiently integrate with the society and not work in isolation from the community they serve, and that then there should be standardized community conversations in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
That's fine.
Okay.
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 Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. On the update of the Nelson Mandela Museum, it goes as follows. The DAC received a complaint from Portfolio Committee about the termination of the fixed-term contract of Mr. Thembile Mkotliwe, the supply chain manager at the Nelson Mandela Museum. The DAC requested the management of the Nelson Mandela Museum to respond to the complaint. In their response, the museum explained how the entity dealt with all the contracts that were due to expire. The museum responded that there are currently 5 employees who are on a fixed 5-year fixed-term contract. The supply chain manager is one of those. The museum followed the prescript of the Labor Relations Act, which states that the employees must be reminded about the expiry of their contract. In line with the Labor Relations Act, the CEO had meetings with all the affected employees. The meetings were done prior to issuing letters. The CEO informed the employees that the posts will be advertised and encouraged them to submit their applications. On the victimization of contract employees, both the council and management have always ensured that all employees were treated equally. This is substantiated by one of the questions asked by the pre-performance assessment review, where the CEO will ask the employees or subordinates whether the process of assessment between the supervisor and subordinates was fair. Another question was whether the supervisor was biased or prejudiced in his or her assessment and whether there were any personal differences. These were deliberate questions in an effort to ascertain if there was any unfair treatment. In particular, the supply chain manager clearly indicated that he did not support any form of victimization, unfairness, or bias from the side of the supervisor. Furthermore, a consistent and fair process has been followed before the contract expired. There have been no victimization or dismissing of contract employees by the museum. The museum is implementing the recommendation from the Portfolio Committee of making the middle management who are on contract permanent by following the correct prescript. The views of the union, it is true that the middle managers were not always members of NEHAU. In 2017, discussions with the union were held on numerous occasions where the union demanded permanency of middle managers. The union was informed that the matter is being attended by the executive management. In 2018, discussion with the union continued and the union proposed the process to be followed. The union in its support of advertising the position so that everybody can also apply. The audit report. The supply chain manager further informed the PC that during the tenure at the museum, he has never been involved in fraudulent activities and his performance is commendable. However, he did not disclose to the PC that due to his incompetency, a security service provider was appointed in 2017 for a tender which had expired in 2015. Similarly, a deeming tender was extended on a number of occasions. Reasons for this were squarely inefficiencies in his office. Both the internal and external auditors have consistently highlighted the inefficiencies in this section. For example, one of the critical areas was contract management and compliance with legislation, rules, and regulation. During the assessment of his performance in all 4 quarters, his performance was below standard, especially considering that he was sent to a training at the School of Government, and the CFO also met with him on many occasions, motivating and showing support for him. The former HR manager was never dismissed from his employment. In 2017, while the museum was verifying its employees' qualification, the former HR manager indicated that he was in possession of a matric certificate. However, when state security agency verified his and all other employees' qualification, it was discovered that he did not possess a matric certificate. At the same time, the HR manager was in possession of a theology degree. he confirmed not to have the certificate. In April 2018, the former HR manager was asked to explain his situation. Instead of giving explanation, he tendered his resignation. The CEO accepted the resignation. When it emerged that the HR manager did not have matric certificate, he was put on a paid leave. State Security SA has recommended that he should not be fired until a final report was produced by them. Indeed, the report was produced, had been received, which was shared with the former HR manager. The report was received when he had already resigned. Amongst other things, the report highlighted that the former HR manager could not be trusted. The management then took a decision that all middle management positions should be made permanent. Council approved the decision to place all middle management posts on permanent contract and further approved that the post should be advertised and that the incumbent should apply. The museum policy makes provision for internal candidates to be given first priority. Mm-hmm. On centenary activities, the expiry of contract is not related to how the museum implements its centenary program of both Mama Nontsikelelo Albertina Sisulu and Tata Mandela. Internal teams have been established to ensure that there are diverse skills in each program. On staff morale, the executive can confirm that staff morale is high. All employees are given equal opportunity to raise any matters through any anonymous process and through departmental or general staff meetings. Employees participate in all museums programs. Management is also utilizing the promotion system to reward qualifying and experienced employees. This was done to ensure continuity and to retain institutional memory. Management has ensured that there is stability in the museum. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to find out on slide 6, when it emerged that the HR manager did not have a matric, he was put on paid leave. I'm not sure about the process. SSA recommends they should not be fired until the final report is produced by them. Now, when will this report be presented, and how long has it been out? Because this man lied about his qualifications. Hence, what does a state security agency now? Now, why does then the state security agency recommend that it should not be fired? Because so then they are interfering into the processes that must occur naturally. Or can you just maybe elaborate or explain on that one?
I think, Chair, the report was given, but then instead of being fired, this person resigned at the time when the report came out around his conduct. On the issue of delay by the request for the delay by the state security that they wanted to do investigation while he's still in the employ. I'm not sure if they had provided full reasons why they wanted him to stay while they're doing the investigation. We might just have to go back and check that. But at the time of finalizing the report, and with the outcome of not being trustworthy, the person had already left the institution on self-resignation rather than fire being dismissed. On the Brantford House, um, Just if it's quite brief, because we're making significant progress in this area, but we can just, for benefit of memory, that 21st of November, the Bid Evaluation Committee Recruitment Service provider called Resumati Consulting Engineers, and they have been appointed to complete, to implement and complete this particular very historic and significant project in the Free State at a cost of 1.9 million rands, and that the implementing agent has entered into a service level agreement on the 13th of March 2018, and have then went on to these projects for a detailed assessment. Now, these were just the things that were identified as areas of focus for the implementing agent, and that when they do construction, the following elements must be taken into account: the issue of the reception, office, archives, landscaping, fencing and guard of the house, paving, museum, internet hub, the restrooms, historic spaces, restoration of the dwelling house and bomb clinic, and converting them into an interpretive spaces, as well as constructing of a multi-purpose center with Wi-Fi facilities. This is just a date implementation schedule of what progress has been made in this regard. If we look at the date of appointment, it was in November, and that was done. And then we look at the initial briefing, and all that is just a indication of the project plan that we use to monitor progress of this thing. Then if we look at the issue of detailed design development, that was the 27th of June, and the target date was the 23rd, but this has been finalized on the 15th of August, where then also all the designs have been signed off. And then we have the documentation and procurement 1st of August. This has moved to October, a compulsory site briefing for all the contractors that the implementing agent need to make sure that they compete and then they get appointed. It was then done on the 6th of August 2018. We are then looking forward now that the issue of appointment of contractors process have started, that then the construction should be able to start on the 4th of October 2018, and that by 30th of May 2019, then there will be a completion and then a handover to the department by the constructing people. We thought it necessary to let this proceed, that this is a project that we really are monitoring closely, and that is why we're working on the timelines and implementation plan with the deadline, so that when there's deviation, we are also able to pick up the likely delays, if any. Chairperson, can we move then to the South African Heritage Resources Agency investigation? The plan for 2018, we are working on 1.9 million rands for the project, covering those areas that we mentioned earlier. Can you just blow for me? It looks too small. Allegations of irregular expenditure, non-compliance with supply chain management policies in the Delville Ward project, and breach of oversight by the chairperson of the council. Honourable Chair, this matter, when it was brought to the attention of the minister, then it was given to the council to commission the investigation into these level allegations that have been made. A report then has been submitted to the office of the DG, Council referred the matter to the National Treasury to assist with the investigation. The National Treasury appointed PricewaterhouseCoopers to conduct this investigation. Investigation started in January 2018. The part of the investigation involved a visit to Delville Wood site in France. A task team was then established by the Heritage Branch in relation to this matter. A draft report has been shared with the Office of the DG and the Minister. And as the chairperson had indicated that you would like this report to be shared with the council, with the portfolio committee, we will provide that a report. But based on the current status, we could not display it here at this stage. But we can hand over the report to the Honourable Chair, as indicated in our previous meeting. I know it was we were not dealing with the matters, but the Chair just read that line and said, really? So we would just like to promise, Chair, that we will give the report.
Are there any questions?
Mm-hmm. Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members, this one is a very straightforward issue that has been raised by Portfolio Committee, that there is this matter outstanding, and we needed to just follow up with Matsamo and Traditional Centre to see what we can do to assist them. Then officials visited the site in March 2018, and then there were issues on how they can access funding, and that was then advanced to them to say how exactly they can be able to do that. And the person we and the officials engaged with was a project manager by the name of Dudu Fakude, and then also in terms of just how to run the arts culture center or projects, so that then they get that expert advice. And also how they can apply for funding, and what process do we follow for them to be able to access funding at DAC. And so we then committed to them that we will do everything we can to deal with their project, and like the normal projects that people will ask under the banner of the Mzansi Golden Economy. Where then if they apply for funding, we should be able to look at that. But as it stands, that advice was given to them, and we are hoping that then they will follow up if they need further assistance and support to the department using that.
We've received this report. Their report is something that we've heard. It's an old song. This is something that we've heard already, that people went there and they were advised. We want to hear what happened after the visit by the officials of the department. Have they applied? Have they, you know? Because we've heard the story of officials going there, and this project is something that I think the department should go out of its way to nurture, to assist, because there are very few of these institutions they are few and far apart, institutions that show culture. And I think it's the duty of this department to ensure that when there is one, you don't say, no, it's not ours, it belongs to those people, but it has to do with your mandate. So you have to assist those people to apply. You show them that in the department, these are the areas that we are funding. And those people, if I was sitting there, I could really imagine how the department can assist. So, when I go to Spanish, we've heard about this, about the officials going there, and what happened thereafter?
Can I check with the acting DG whether they have received any application from them?
Honourable members, Chairperson, subsequent to the meetings, we have received an application for Matamo. It was sent to us end of April, and we was going to adjudicate as part of MGE. We had indicated to them that for programming, we will support them like we do with Indoni in KZN, because they do similar things. So we have an application with us that's going to be adjudicated.
It's good to hear that. But also, I'm hoping that in your presentation to that project, you did show them the other areas, like your touring ventures or whatever, because those groups of people, young people there, they are invited to other parts of the world. And I hope you had, you know, told them other avenues where they can raise assistance from the department. And I think it's really important for you to keep on supporting that venture, because as I said earlier, those are few and far apart, and they are about your mandate as the department. I think it's very important for you to support them. And I would like to thank Wena DG Apaku, a young man called just Tembiso. Unity Mr. Mabas, there's a young man there, Tembiso. You know that guy. You phone that guy anytime. Because you receive these, you know, complaints from the community saying that we applied, this is what we did. And you call, I'll give you Tembiso's number. You call him, and he just goes there. And he even digs out those applications from last year, from other years. He would come up and advise the people that your application does not suit the manner in which we fund as the department. So this is how you need to, you know, he's good in what he is doing. That guy is really good. And people would come back and say, he called us and told us that our application, this is what is happening, or we must redo our application because it does not fit what we do in the department. We need more staff, you know. I'm telling you, we need more people like that Tembiso in that unit, because he goes out of his way.
He's on our floor.
He's good. He does this. He does it. And there are a number of people now who have consulted me. I send him the messages, and he comes back, and some of the things are sorted. Some he has to advise the people to redo it because it doesn't fit the funding of the department. I think it's a good thing. And
No, thank you very much for the positive feedback on him. We will definitely give it back to him and make sure that he understands the appreciation of the value he adds to the clients that we service and the appreciation. Honorable Chair, we will make sure that we communicate that there was no interference except appreciation on the matter. On the National Heritage Monument, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we can report that, not sure if the members can read there, it just looks a bit faint. But we can report, if I were to summarize, Chair, on this matter, that this matter was being raised that the National Heritage Monument Company or the NHPC had not been paid, and that we had not finalized their matter for some time, and that there was a whistleblower who would raise the issues of double dipping on this matter, and therefore the department had undertaken an investigation. We can report that after that investigation, Chairperson, we then engaged with them and shared the outcome of that. But just to remind honorable members on the detail of this matter, is that on part bullet 3, the Department of Sangasha, we appointed Ernest & Young, and that was on the 13th of July 2016 to perform a forensic investigation, and that the report was then finalized and submitted to the department as well as an NHPC for their input and comments. And that was in April 2017. Subsequent to that, based on Ernst & Young, DC then appointed a sculpture company called Optics Legacy. This was to perform verification exercise on the life-size bronze sculptures, so that with a view that then we can confirm or refute the issue of sculptures being counted as units, which was one of the points of or bone of contention. Then Optics released their final report in February 2017 with their findings and recommendations for concern by the department. Then forensic investigation and sculpture report, expert reports were also then communicated to legal counsels in order to obtain the legal opinion on this matter through the Office of the State Attorney. Amongst others, the legal opinion indicated that NHPC has to fully account on the use of funding that was provided to them by the department prior to release of further tranches of the money. Further consideration was then made, and the department subsequently opened another service provider, namely OMA Incorporated, to perform what we call financial audit, where then all accounting documents, records, invoices were then subsequently looked at, analyzed on the disbursement of any funds that were given to NHPC. The outcome in form of the final audit was then received in March 2018 and communicated to the department. We then engaged with them on these findings, and recommendations were also shared with the company as represented by their CEO. Subsequent then to that, in May 2018, with the Round of Law Department HPC personnel, we then had a meeting with a view to chart the way forward and find out how best can we resolve the matter. The report by OMA had some of the key findings that NHPC had incurred, and which then should be recovered, and those that were confirming that the work had been done, and the purpose for which then the funds were granted, as well as they looked at also the MOAs, summarized below is what we call DAC1, where 98,000 was indicated that should be recovered. Now, we give the breakdown of that in paragraph 8, Chair, that the 2.5 could not be validated due to lack of supporting documentation. 13.5 was in relation to private expenditure for things like traffic fines, and that 82,000 rand, which was incorrectly classified as contingency line item. So these details then totaled these amounts to this 98,000 rand that needed to be withheld by the department from the any money that was due to NHPC. There were then the issues of indirect costs that could not be attributed to specific funding, whereby no formal process of allocation are in place. However, the department had to accede that it should have specified what is allowable to be claimed as administration expenditure, with a proviso that the expenditure must be fully supported by adequate documentation. But also that the issue of oversight and monitoring was raised by all the reports that the department on this our side, we had not done that properly, and that could have contributed to some of the challenges that were faced by this project. So the department then was of the end of the view that on HPC, the amount of money that was to be paid must be looked at, and they must be then we must deduct that which has been identified in the audit report of OMA. So then on the 21st of May, we indeed met with the NHPC, and in that meeting, the following were the resolutions. Liability of the 98,000 rand is what we had put to them, and that we will deduct that money. And that DAC said that a liable sum of 543,000 in respect of the DAC 2. These DACs are just about the statues that needed to be built at a particular under a particular MOA, but we just separated them as DAC 1 and DAC 2. That we agreed then in that meeting that would verify the 16 or 17 statutes that allegedly completed, because in that meeting the NHPC confirmed to us that no, we have already done these statutes. You can go and verify them. We then said on the basis of verification, we will then pay the money due to them based on work done. And based on that then, indeed, there was a site inspection on those particular to see those statues that were allegedly being built. Now, the DAC then would, because the amount of pay, the sum of 7.6 million rand, was what then we had agreed the value of the work, total debt on work done, and that based on that then take into account findings of OMA, we will then recover that money under both DAC-1 and DAC-2. Then NHPC was to submit a new proposal to the department that will deal with the gaps identified in the MOU. The gaps identified in the MOU, among them was lack of clarity on what statues are to be built. So that was left to NHPC, which then meant that, in fact, you can't manage that process, because if it is them who decide who prioritize what, it's a problem. But secondly, that we will then also, the MOU or MOA must be very clear on what is a statue, so that we don't deal with these matters of what is a unit or what constituted that post. One of the problems was that when you make a statue of Hossein Kize standing alone, it's not the same as Hossein Kize sitting on a horse. Now, to separate whether that is one statue or two statues in one was one of the things that made it difficult to deal with costing and pricing and agreeing on what needs to happen. So we needed to identify the gaps that will then engage with NHPC so that the MOA going forward is very, very clear. DAC then conducted that site visit, as I indicated earlier, and subsequent to verification, an amount of 6.9 million rand was then agreed to be made to NHPC as the amount that is owed to them by the department. And we are in the process of paying that money.
How much does it cost you to engage these people who are doing this audit of the work that has been done? How much does it cost? Honorable members, it may...
I will have to go and look into that because it was various audits and add that and get back to the chairperson on the total cost of all these forensics.
You don't know even approximately. You can't say approximately how much.
I'm just checking the document. We'll provide the information.
Are there any other questions on the National Heritage Monument? Because as I'm looking at this report and looking at the time and looking at the uncertainty, the emotion, the pain, whatever that has gone through this period between the time of the whistleblower to the time of the very last meeting where you took a resolution, I think you need to look seriously at how you do things as the department. You need to look seriously into your operations, how you do things. Because if in the first place you had what you are talking about now in place, if you had the contract or MOU that was signed initially, had all these factors, you know, pointed out clearly, you would have saved the pain and the emotions and the anger and whatever was there during this period. Because at some point, the department sees the portfolio committee as interfering. Meanwhile, it is you not doing your work properly that brings in the portfolio committee. Because if there are things that you don't do properly, people will come to us. And we have to respond to the call. So I think it's important for the department before, in fact, I have even read the duties of the portfolio committee. This is what I did to the strategic planning of SARA. To say, I need to read the Riot Act every day to say, this is why we are here as the Portfolio Committee. And when we do our work, don't say we are interfering. We have to make this clear every day that as the Portfolio Committee, when we do our work, we are not interfering. Because this is somewhat what the department feels sometimes. This is what the entities feel sometimes. That is the portfolio committee. We are interfering with their work. Have you come up with anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Honorable Chair, the costs have been incurred from the forensic investigation is 971,000, and then from the legal cost is 249,774 rand. Those are the costs that 971,619 rand. That was for forensic investigation broken down into EY, which was 662,447, the SCATRA services, which is 225,171.66, the post-investigation financial accounting by OMA, which is 84,000, So that constitutes that 971,619. And then the legal costs, they're just standing alone at 249,774.
If we have done our work more than a million times, just giving, it's just flushing down the toilet. Just because at the end of the day, you found out what you have found out, what you would have found out even if you had done your work properly in the first place. So it's really sad, but I think it's a lesson for the department that whenever you get into a memorandum of agreement, you must clearly specify what you want to get out of that agreement. So that at the end of the day, there are no questions. There's no gray line. There's nothing in between. It's black, it's white, there's nothing in between. So I think it's important for us. Honourable members, no more questions on this matter? Can we then skip the other report on Robben Island? Because we did have discussion on that, but we are waiting for, we will be looking at the document. Let us not discuss it today. What we need to do, the few minutes that are left, I would like to say to the department, they must just present the first, the first and the fourth quarter report, just present them so that we adjourn. And in our next meeting, we come, they don't present, we just ask questions. How is that? And you must make notes, and I think it's going to make things difficult if you make notes now, while they are presenting. And then in our next meeting, we have even had an opportunity to go through them ourselves. They, if you can just present in chief, those reports quickly, because we don't have it.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, it's quarter four. This is a quarter four report, and this one is now a final report after the audit has been done. And the performance results of this quarter report were quality assured by our internal audit. As per our national trial guidelines, then we should submit this report 100 days after the end of a quarter. So we have managed to then approve and submit this report within 60 days. The fourth quarter report was then submitted to DPME and National Treasury on the 1st of May 2018. The department had 57 targets between January to March. Of the 57 targets, 45 were achieved and 12 were not achieved. The performance in the first quarter of 2017-18 has improved when we compare that performance to that of 2016-2018 financial year. Just using the pie, we just indicate there that it is 21% not achieved and 79% that was achieved. If we then go to the breakdown of the comparative analysis of the third quarter audited outcome vis-a-vis the fourth quarter audited outcome, the achievement of the fourth quarter is at 82% compared to 80% in the third quarter. A slight improvement of 2% is then observed. When we look at the fourth quarter by fourth quarter compared to the two previous financial years, the fourth quarter of performance for 2017 improved by 4% to that of 2016. And that is why we're saying it's 75% as against 79% if you compare year-on-year financials as per against fourth quarter of each. We then do that by program, on the contribution of the overall performance of the fourth quarter. Honorable Chair, you will see there that on administration, 10 targets were achieved as against 13, and that gives us 77% and 23% not achieved. If we look at the institutional governance, it was 10 out of 11, that translates to 91% as against 9%. On the arts, culture, promotion, development, we had 16 targets achieved as against 19, and that translates to 84%. And then heritage promotion and preservation, we have 64%, which translates to 9 out of 14, and percentage-wise, 36%, which is 5 not achieved. What were the key highlights during this quarter? Honorable Chairperson and members, we had the department continue to work with the communities at this level, and the IGR and non-profit organizations, institutions of higher learning, with a variety of programs that we recorded the following key highlights. The commemoration of the Human Rights Day on the 21st of March was quite a greatest achievement. This one, we highlighted one element we would like to really bring to the Tangible Portfolio Committee. It was also the diversity that was reflected in Gauteng and Sharpeville. It was quite amazing that various cultures or racial groups of constituting the Rainbow Nation were there. It was quite great. Of course, there was then also the opening of the modular library that took place, and the library which will then benefit communities. That was opened by Minister Tetwa as well as the MEC in Wambo Nambe era under Umfolozi municipality on the 9th of March 2018. Also, the Deputy Minister had a back-to-school national campaign to foster and promote nation-building and social cohesion. And this was done to ensure that, that the Deputy Minister drives this element of social cohesion in schools. The department also then had, together with Kuwait Ambassador Hassan Abadel Al-Okab, officially opened the Kuwait Contemporary Arts Exhibition at the Titsong Museum on the 21st of February 2018, and the exhibition ran until 25th with 47 paintings that were showcased and displayed the history of and culture of Kuwait. Minister also had an opportunity to deliver a keynote address at SACO on the 8th at the conference of SACO on the 7th and of the 7th and 8th at the Nelson Mandela Bay, Port Elizabeth. And this was one of the key areas that we think is important, because SACO is a research arm of the department, but it highlighted the value of creative, of cultural and creative industry in South Africa's economy. The targets that were achieved, Chair, I don't know whether you would like me to go one by one or we look at those that were not achieved. And the targets that were not achieved, Honorable Chairperson, were one of the critical ones, the white paper, review on the white paper. And this paper had a number of processes that the loops we had to go through. The fourth draft of the revised white paper was completed, and the socioeconomic impact assessment and preliminary report was also done and issued by DPME. However, we had to deal with the issue of further when we went to clusters. Other departments needed to be further consulted to engage with some few key issues, like the debate around indigenous knowledge concept, we needed to find consensus on how to craft and capture these things. But where we are now, we have finalized the socio-economic socio-economic assessment, and the process only took longer, but we are glad that key departments were involved and participated in helping us to finalize issues that were raised there. So the process to present this revised white paper and see and says a report is underway. In fact, we can report now, Chair, rather than to go through this, that at the cluster SPCHD Cabinet Committee, 14th of August, this was presented, and in fact, it has been presented to and approved by Cabinet. So at last now, this is now going to be coming to Parliament for parliamentary processes to unfold. But at last, we believe we're going to have this white paper, revised white paper in place. And then on the percentage of budget spending, 95% of the budget was spent, and that translates to 4.1 billion rand. The reason for non-achievement is really due to under-expenditure, Chairperson, particularly on the big infrastructure projects to the value of 230 million rand, which has been realized. We indicate there that under goods and services, heritage assets, machinery and equipment, but the CFO will talk to that. But that is where we did not spend money. It was mainly driven from the infrastructure projects. The project managers who are underspending their budgets and will be closely monitored by the branch. However, we are looking, we are busy reconfiguring the whole process on the infrastructure projects as a department, because internally, but also sourcing support from Public Works on expect, and they've given us a person to work with. Then the target of 50% women in senior management leadership of the organization, we are at 47.8%. The national target is set at 50. However, DAC, we lost two SMS women members, and that then dropped us. We were above this. So with the posts that have been advertised, we have also made sure that we recruit SMS members who are female to make sure that the department benefits from their skills, their knowledge and expertise, and not just to chase the numbers. The UM, this needed to be approved, and in 2017, and it never happened. 2018, we have then put more effort to make sure that we get a service provider, and that without that service provider, who was only approved on the 22nd of February, we couldn't then implement this. And the service provider called Beacon Africa was then appointed. And as we explained, I think, Chairperson, before around this matter, where the Honorable Chairperson and the members were asking a lot of questions around what happened, how did we not deal with the issue of the costing that this service provider began to ask more than what was done, and then we were asked about due diligence. So I think it's well recorded, and the development of the UM will then take place in the 2018-19 financial year. And the service provider was appointed in July 2018. And the target on the number of public art projects supported financially, the target was 5, and one public art project was supported. There has been a number of challenges here. Delays in the setting up of our internal processes on adjudication panel and the review of the MGE funding processes that were being reviewed and impacted on that adjudication process. But also the challenge with the non-compliance by beneficiaries, which is an indication of a lack of public education about compliance and requirements. The process of the MHA has been reviewed and structured, as well as the composition of the adjudication panel. But applications also will then be processed ahead of time that we believe will assist and make sure that a compliance documentation through what we call a checklist will be developed to ensure that these things are identified early in the adjudication process, so that then it doesn't affect the turnaround time. The number of community art projects supported financially, the annual target was 150 and the quarter target was 50. For the annual, 116 community art projects were supported, which was really quite a shortfall. The challenges include, among others, collaborating evidence during the assessment period and the delays in processing these applications. And in particular, capacity within this unit is a problem that we have identified. Applications will then be processed. The intention is to make sure that we do that ahead of time, and once we have revised the processes that are involved, compliance documentation be requested and checklist be the basis on which we accept an application, then to receive application and only be told later that the requirements are outstanding, and that impacts also on the turnaround time. Number of community art centers refurbished projects supported financially, and the target was 5. And the MOA for the 3 projects was signed, but the transfer of funds could not happen due to the challenges on the bank accounts that were unverified. And for the details of the beneficiaries, we're supposed to get that. And the responses also are a challenge from provincial implementing agencies. And then the DAC and provinces need to agree on what is the best way to disperse funds for upgrading of community art centers. This matter will be then discussed at the Technical Intercommunal Committee meeting, which happened in June 2018. On the issue of number of multi-year projects, financial support to modernize archives. Chairperson, at the time of preparing the report, because this is a report that should have been tabled quite earlier. But if you look at the update, that is what he assists us in terms of where we are now.
In this update, we should be having a meeting took place on in June, and this is what transpired. Not in August, telling us about a meeting that was going to take place, not even the 10th. It's a meeting that will take place. You know, meanwhile, it's a meeting that has been copy and paste.
Today about a meeting that should have taken place in June. Today you should be telling us about this is the meeting, we had a meeting in June and this is what transpired from that meeting.
At the expense of avoiding that dialogue, we will update accordingly. I think that is what we will do, and address that concern, Chairperson. Number of multi-year projects.
Thank you.
Three out of four multi-year projects were financially supported to modernize archives. There was a challenge here, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, because we have a partnership with France, and there was then, for the last leg, the training that was required to be done couldn't be done at that time, but the training was then only conducted in April, which was outside of the reporting period. The number of heritage policies, social policies developed, socio-economic impact assessment report on two heritage policies developed, the socio-economic impact assessment reports on two heritage policies were developed. Instead, one policy, final C, socio-economic impact assessment sign-off form for cluster only was received for the underwater cultural heritage policy. The policy has been presented and approved by both the technical working group as well as the cluster. There were challenges for the other one on the digitization process in sourcing the quotations that resulted in delays in the appointment of a service provider. However, a service provider was then appointed in February 2018, and the digitization policy is now in process of being reviewed and will be completed at the end of May. And I think as the chairperson have raised the issue of, instead of saying will, we should be saying has been completed as end of May. But here we will update that, chairperson. On the number of accepted file plans evaluated and approved, fourth quarter we had a target of 8. Two accepted file plans were evaluated and approved. There was a problem of capacity in a nutshell, chairperson, because when the only official responsible for this project left, there was no way in which to replace this official. And at the end of the day, that resulted impacting negatively on our work. Now, what we have done then was to prioritize this post, and there's a assistant director post filling system, filing systems post was then advertised, and we are hoping that the post will be filled by end of this month. Sorry, the post has been now filled in this month, and we now have that warm body. We will then fast track those filing systems. We'll then finalize those file plans. Flags installed in schools, 100, but the annual target was meant for 500, and the 315 flags installed in schools. Here we had a serious challenge, Chair, about collaborating evidence during the assessment period. The confirmations or the stabs that were on the provincial letterheads and instead of DAC letterheads. And the DAC form was then distributed for schools to complete so that we are clear of evidence that will collaborate the numbers. A number of heritage bursaries awarded, 65, we could only do 61. And then four of the universities with a challenge there who do not comply with the request to supply or provide necessary documentation so that the payments could be finalized. And they took longer to respond. And then one-on-one meeting with universities to obtain these outstanding documents were planned for the first quarter. So that then we really deal with this issue. Honorable Jefferson, the issue of the expenditure report, I would request that the CFO deal with that aspect.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. In terms of the fourth quarter expenditure report, the first three columns address the year-to-date figures and the last columns address only the quarter as per the presentation. If you look at the first quarter, is that the adjusted budget was 4.3 billion and the department was only able to spend 4.1 billion. So there is an under expenditure of 230 million. However, if you look at the fourth quarter expenditure report, the projected budget was 894 million and the expenditure was 1,059,000. So it will look as if there is an over expenditure of 164 million in the fourth quarter. But if you look at the year-to-date expenditure, the department have underspent by 5%. And the details are as follows. This is just a graphical view of the expenditure trend. If we can go to the detailed expenditure report, where we can see the main slide of the previous one. Yeah, that slide. I think it's better if you look at. If you look at that slide, honorable members, you can see that the department, in terms of compensation of employees, have only spent 98% of their budget, if you look at the first four columns first. And in terms of goods and services, we only spend 94%. In terms of departmental agencies, we were able to spend 100%, as well as departmental agencies' capital, 100%. But on non-profit organization, we were only able to spend 91%. And on non-profit organization, we only spent 62%. On household, we spend 97%. On public corp, 90%. On public corp capital expenditure, we spend 5%. And on foreign government and international organization, we spend 74%. On heritage asset, we spend 80%. Yes, As we are looking there, you can see the main contributor for the underspending for our side is the heritage asset, where it's about 99 million that have not been spent. And this is in relation mainly with regards to the legacy project, which were the spending was very slow during the financial year. And as well as if you look at machinery, we were only able to spend 43%, and basically, this is the in relation to new equipment and computers that were supposed to have been acquired as we were moving into the new building, and most of the projects were delayed, and some of the payments were made in the new financial year. So basically, that is the main contributing areas of under expenditure. Then at the end we have got the, if we go to the where we explain the variances, I can just touch on few points in terms of compensation. The underspending was mainly due to the vacant post of, for example, the DDG, ACPD, and other vacant posts that were still existent in the department. On the goods and services, if you look at the quarter expenditure, you can see that there seem to be a over expenditure mainly attributed to the payments made to the DPW for the fourth quarter state-owned properties invoices for research, and also payment for research and advisory services for the Cultural Observatory, as well as a payment to CIPSA for their fiduciary duties on the downtown studios. If you look at the municipalities, the percentage transfer there, we transferred all the money that was supposed to go for the conditional grant to the libraries.
However, if we look at the departmental agencies and accounts, there is a over expenditure of about 7%, and the overspending is as a result of, and this over expenditure is only in relation to the quarter, is in relation to the transfer made to Freedom Park for operational expenditure, Iziko and the National English Museum, where they requested additional funding for implementation of the Graph 103. On departmental agencies, the expenditure relates to payment made for DPW for invoices based on the work done on capital works project at the DAC public entities. On non-profit institutions, the bulk transaction relates to MGE transfer to beneficiaries financial supported post the environment approval by National Treasury, which approval was granted in the fourth quarter. So that is why a lot of expenditure were done in the fourth quarter, because approval of the adjusted budget was done late in December, so payment were made in the last quarter of the financial year. On non-profit organization CAPEX, the overspending is as a result of transfer payment made to beneficiaries of legacy projects and journals which were posted to correct misallocation for the transfers to beneficiary for upgrading of their public spaces and approval also to reprioritize the reclassification of funds to the legacy project that was granted after the adjusted E&E. On household, the bulk of the spending is attributed to the grant in aid through financial assistance budgeted under Program 2, Institutional Governance, causing an over expenditure, as well as on MGE cultural events and heritage and professional bazaaries. On public corporation, the current transfer of 15.4 million versus a budget of 13.6 million was incurred in quarter four. The overspending was on the MGE cultural events workstream due to approval of Treasury to reclassification of funds within MEG to the economic classification during the adjusted E&E process. On public corporation CAPEX, the expenditure of 145,000, which is 2% compared to the 7 million was incurred. This budget relates to upgrading of community art centers and was realigned to non-profit institutions and departmental agencies during the adjusted E&E. On foreign government and international organizations, the under-expenditure was due to the invoice amount by the Commonwealth Foundation based on the rand and pound exchange rate, which went in favor of the rand, which the rand was stronger by the time the transfer was done. On the heritage asset, there was only an expenditure of 5.6 million, which was incurred during quarter four. The expenditure related to legacy project invoice by DPW based on the work that have been completed. On machinery and equipment, an expenditure of 8.5 million versus zero was incurred in quarter four. The expenditure relates to the network project implemented by CETA for work already done in relation to relocation of the department. Approval was granted by National Treasury to reprioritize funds for the relocation to the new building. On software, an expenditure of 3.8 million versus a budget of 2 million was incurred in quarter four. This is due to a journal that was passed of 12.4 million, a renal fee posted to this item for the security system installed in the new building. On payment for capital asset, an expenditure of 34,000 was incurred in quarter four. The expenditure relates to hired car damages incurred by officials whilst on official duty. On higher education institution, an expenditure of 3.1 million versus zero was incurred in quarter four. the expenditure related to HLT project financially supported. The budget was reclassified from goods and services to this item during the adjusted ENE. On building and fixed structure, there was no expenditure incurred compared to the budget of $46 million. The total appropriated allocation to this item was reclassified to heritage assets. In terms of the expenditure for the quarter, $1.1 billion was incurred compared to a budget of $894 million. However, if you compare the annual budget of $4.4 billion, reflects a spending of $4.1 billion, which is 95% at the end of March. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You won't be able to present the second one for the first quarter because of time. So you will present it on Tuesday before we ask questions and make comments. Thank you very much. The meeting is now adjourned. Just like that. Thank you.